Hello, good morning, church family. I just want to thank everybody who came out, and I really had a fun time with the kiddos and getting to see all their smiles and all their joy and like having that childlike faith, you know, reignited in me. And so that was really amazing. I really enjoyed the event, and I hope the kids enjoyed. And you want to share something?
So I'm just up here to give a special shout out and thanks to everyone that helped volunteer, our next gen youth, for volunteering and being team leaders. It was exciting to see you guys like lead and see the ways God was working through you guys to minister to the kids. And then also special shout out to our C3 team. So Michael and Stephanie for opening up their home to us to have the event there. A special big shout out to Teacher Jasmine for putting this whole event together. It was a lot of planning, and she spent a lot of time and just was very passionate about this and really wanted to put this together for the kids, even though we had like, it was our first like VBS, but next year hopefully we'll have more kids. It was a good turnout, so next year make sure to invite all your little kiddos. But yeah, just a special shout out and thank you to everyone that helped out, that volunteered to put this together and just to ultimately like to bring fun and like also to teach the word of God to the kids. So thank you to everyone that helped out, to our parents for helping us out and staying up late to finish the decorations and everything. And yeah, just thank you to everyone that was there and for bringing the kids, and hopefully we have more kids show up next year. It was a good turnout. It was a good turnout. But like, hopefully each year we want to progress. So hopefully we're able to bring more kids. But yeah.
Okay, now we're going to bring up our kids, and they want to share what they learned. So the theme was fruit of the spirit. So they're going to share some of the fruit of the spirit that they learned and growed in. Okay, you want to share?
Hi, my name's Alondra, and my fruits of the spirit are patience and self-control. And my favorite part of Kids Fun Day was the water games and the fruit pizza.
Hello, my name is Christian, and my fruit of the spirit are joy, peace, and gentleness. And my favorite part of kids, C2 kids, is the water balloons and food.
Hello, my name's Alex, and my fruits of the spirit are love and kindness, and my favorite part of Kids Fun Day was the water games.
Okay, and our last fruit of the spirits are goodness and faithfulness. Once again, I just want to thank everyone who came out. I really appreciate it, and hopefully next year we have a good turnout again. It was really amazing to see all the kids just growing in the fruit of the spirit and like saying, oh, I'm going to practice patience, or I'm going to practice self-control. So that was really amazing. So, yeah.
God is good, right? Isn't it cool to see the kids and the videos? And there's like hundreds more pictures, honestly. We'll put together a longer slideshow and probably post that on our social media. As part of being the senior pastor, you also like to set up and tear down guys, so this is part of what we do here, just so that you know. I would say, hey, listen, if you wanted to plant a church, come see us. We'll tell you all about it, right? All the good and the bad and the nitty-gritty, but we do it for Jesus. Amen? Isn't it awesome that I've been on a high since Wednesday just to see the kids worshiping, seeing the kids playing. I mean, so I got to ask my brother, Steven, I don't know where Laz got those dance moves, you know? Got a little bit of the, I don't know, is that like kind of teaching them, training the kids in the ways that of the Lord, right? And the dance moves, I saw that. But no, it really was a blessing. And I want to, again, thank you, Jasmine, I think, for just saying yes to what Jesus put in your heart to organize and plan it. Listen, we have a very lean team. I don't know if you guys know that. There's about 8 of us that set up and tear down. We're super light in terms of what our team looks like. Jasmine came to us about 6 weeks ago, and she was like, I want to do this. I'm going to organize it. And it was just a blessing to see her take ownership of it, execute it, plan it. It was a blessed time. And you know why? Because Jesus was at the center of it. Amen? was just really a blessing. So thank you to everybody. And next year, invite, right? Invite more friends, invite people. Sometimes, listen, coming to church on Sunday can be intimidating, yeah? It's like, oh, everybody's going to be looking at me. What are they going to say and think? It's like, that's the enemy lying to you, right? But you can always invite people to somebody's backyard, to VBS, to a barbecue event, to a women's coffee meetup, to a men's Bible study. Keep inviting, right? You're here, whether you believe it or not, because somebody invited you. First, the Holy Spirit, right? And then somebody usually invited you to an event, a baptism, something. So we've got to keep inviting to do our part. Amen? Yeah. All right, at this time, I'm going to have all the kids line up over here with Teacher Adriana. So if you guys want to go ahead and go to class, she's going to teach you guys. She's going to give them, I heard she brought Red Bull today. Red Bull and what else? Bunch of sugar, Skittles. I'm telling you, she's going to get them all hyped up. And then nap time for you guys, eh? Right? Praise God. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Thank you, Lord God, for the blessing that we already feel, Lord God, to be able to worship you, Lord God, to come before you, to be in the fellowship of the body of believers. Father God, right now we lift up our children to you. Lord, thank you for the gift that it is to have family and children, Lord God, in our church. I pray that you continue to minister to their hearts, continue to bring the word to life to them, Lord God, and help us do our part, Lord, to train them up, as you tell us, Lord God, in Proverbs 22:6, Lord, train them up in your ways, Lord, so when they're old, they won't depart from your word, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness, your kindness, and Lord, always have your hand over our children, Lord. We love you, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. I don't know about you guys, but I need to catch my breath. Isn't God good? Yeah, he is. He's so good. Well, we've been, want to again welcome you if you are first time here at our church with Christ Community Church. We're very, I would say, small church, but we love Jesus and we want to serve him to the fullest. And so my name is Michael Rodriguez. I'm the lead pastor here. And hope you felt welcomed. And if you didn't feel welcome, you tell me who that person was afterwards, okay? I'm not going to do, I already told you guys, I'm not the fighter. I'm more of this gentle kind. But my brother, you know, he's a muscle on the team. And I'll have that, whoever was rude to you, you tell me, okay? I'm kidding. I'm sure that you guys all felt welcome. Well, we're in the middle of a four-week sermon series right now. And it's been on the book of Philippians. How many of you guys have been enjoying the sermon series on the book of Philippians? Isn't it good? It's good to kind of go through systematically what's happening, what we're learning from what Paul said to the Philippians in his letter. And so today we're going to be doing the last of the chapters because there's only four chapters. So it had to be a four-week series. Or we could actually break it up, but we were covering a chapter every week. And so the title for today's sermon is Living a Life of Generous Friendship. Living a Life of Generous Friendship. Now, you guys all know that I'm big on visuals, right? So let's start with the visual for this particular series. And so it's going to be right here. The book of Philippians was written by, who was it written by? Paul. It was written on, when was it written? Can you guys see that? On his first missionary journey? His third? His second. Man, you guys are so smart. I always tell you guys, I get up early every Sunday, and I drive all around Sanger looking for the smartest and most beautiful church. And it's always right here. You guys are just amazing, right? It was on Paul's second missionary journey, right? And it kind of details where he went, how he went about. And this little town right here, right? This is called Philippi. Yeah, right? My wife is not from there. She's from the Philippines, okay? That joke still has, there's still some juice in it. I've been saying that joke for 4 weeks already. She's like, already, I'm tired. Like, so she's from the Philippines, not from Philippi. If she was from Philippi, she would be Greek, right? Instead of adobo and all kinds of egg rolls, I would be eating what? Shawarma and Mediterranean and all that kind of stuff, right? Which is good too. But that's your food, it's okay. I'm all about the Filipino food, okay? I don't know if you know this. This body didn't get like this by not eating Filipino food, okay? So I just wanted to tell you guys that. All right, get back in the car, Pastor, right? Sometimes I get distracted. But we're learning about Philippi and who wrote that letter or the epistle. It was Paul, right? And where was Paul at the time when he wrote that? He was in jail, right? He was locked down, right? He was in Rome at the time. Now, this particular letter has a strong emphasis on what? Generous friendships, right? So you guys all know that you guys have these five different main learning styles, right? What are they? Some of you guys learn by hearing, yeah? Some of you guys learn by seeing, right? Some of you guys learn by doing, right? What else is there? Writing, hearing, seeing. There's another really cool tool that we use for learning. I don't know if you guys know this. There's a reason why when you see words and sound, right, it kind of reminds you, like, let me see if this is going to work out. I'm going to test you guys here and see if you guys know this. You guys know this song? What is it? It's got a friend in me. You guys are going to start singing now. Okay, that's one. That's for all the Disney fans, right? Who doesn't love Toy Story, right? By the way, Toy Story, which was the best Toy Story? Toy Story, I think 3 was my favorite. 3 was the best. I don't know. We could talk about that later. What kind of Bible study? We'll talk about Toy Story. Okay. How about this other one? Okay. Let's see. Uh-oh. This throwback for some of you guys. Uh-oh. Some of you guys want to start dancing. Some of you guys started slow dancing already. I'll be there. You guys know this song? All right. Some of you guys knew that song, right? That's a cool little throwback song, right? Let's see if you guys know this one. Uh-oh. Somebody's going to start doing a windmill backspin right here. As soon as the beat came on, I see the back table going like this. Yeah, Pastor, drop it. Drop that line. Okay, here goes. Some of you guys know this. Yeah. Okay. I guarantee you that in no other church in America did they play Houdini. And it wasn't part of the worship set, okay? That's why we say we came to do Jesus, we came to do church the way that God made us, right, with our own personality. And if you're big on religion, and oh, I can't believe they played Houdini in church, I'm just saying, like, hey, give us a little bit of time. We're going to get into the Word. I'm still in the introduction, okay, so give me some grace. But how many of you guys resonate with that song? My sister's like, no. My sister's more like NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, okay? I mean, my wife. Yeah, sorry. I was saying sister Stephanie to you guys, my wife. Okay, give me grace, guys. I'm telling you. It's not that kind of church, for sure. Not sister wives, no. No, not that kind of church either. Bring it back. My wife. She was not having that music, right? But somebody in the back, you're like, oh, yeah. In fact, when you get to the car, you're going to throw that Houdini track on. That reminded me of some good times with my friends. And then lastly, some of you guys are more of a 90s crowd, I can see, right? So let's see. Some of you guys are like, gonna be this way. Your love locked you away. Stuck in second gear. You guys know this song? Or even your year. All right. You guys know this song. What song is that? Friends, right? That's the track. It's from the Rembrandts. I'll Be There For You is the track to the Friends opening. Now, what was the theme between all those songs? friends, right? Friendship. Friends. And that's so important. It's so important that we have friends in life, but it's even more important because some of you guys, now that's a very broad definition. Because some of you have friends, and raise your hand. If that person's here with you, maybe don't raise your hand. But friends that invite you to do things, and then it's like, oh, that person invited me, they're not even going to show up. You guys have friends like that? Some of you guys. If they're here, don't raise your hand, okay? I'm kidding. How many of you have friends, though, that those are like, man, through thick and thin, if something's going on, and I call that person, they're going to show up? You guys have friends like that? Yeah, we need friends like that, right? And then some of you have friends at work, like your coworkers and people that you just kind of do life with, but you know, those are friends too, yeah? There's a broad spectrum of it. What we're going to learn about today is, right, that God is calling us to be generous in our friendships, right? But beyond that, he also wants us to make sure that we are walking closely with brothers and sisters, because we're called to be brothers and sisters in Christ. And that also means that we are called to be friends, right? Because what? Jesus is also a friend of, he calls us what? I no longer call you, right? You guys remember that? Servants, I now call you a friend. It's just important that we learn to recognize that we model what Jesus Christ says he's going to do in our own friendships. We're brothers and sisters in the church for sure, but then outside of that. Because outside of that, listen, if we're not living and doing our part to model Jesus Christ correctly in our friendships, where are they going to see God's goodness? If it's not coming from a brother and a sister in Christ, who is going to actually show them what it means to be a friend, to invite them to know true and amazing friend that Jesus is? And then he can become Lord and Savior. Does that make sense? All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that little intro. You may not remember anything that we learned, that we covered today, but you're always going to remember the sermon where we played Houdini in the opening, right? You'll always remember that. And hopefully, you'll tie it, right? Just imagine yourself right now. Houdini, Philippians chapter 4. Houdini, every time you hear it, right? When you hear the Rembrandts, Houdini, that's Philippians chapter 4. Pastor preached about what it means to be generous in our friendships. The next time you hear Toy Story, yes, it's good. But think about Philippians chapter 4, right? God is good. Let's get into the Word today. We're reading from Philippians chapter 4. And it says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yet I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Let's pause there. We're going to cover every scripture. That's okay. But what is Paul saying, right? This is kind of an interesting little introduction, because it's funny. Whenever you read the verses, therefore, he's usually assuming that you've already done something. What is he assuming? If you start on Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, and you see that very first word that says, therefore, means he just finished saying something, right? The context of the passage is that he's assuming you read chapter 3. It's not a trick question, you know. We're not here to trick you. It's very easy. But what we want to do is that he's telling us again in chapter 3, a quick recap, is that he doesn't take confidence in the flesh. He doesn't take confidence in the religion. He doesn't take confidence in those rules. He counts everything that he has as gain in the world as a loss for knowing Jesus Christ. So first things first is that he's saying, listen, everything that you have in the world is all a loss. It's all about Jesus Christ. Don't take confidence in the flesh. Don't take confidence in your bank account. Don't take confidence in your degree. Don't take confidence in where you work. Don't take confidence in your house. Is that starting to resonate? Take confidence in who Jesus Christ is. Amen? And so that's what he's saying. That's the context of the passage. And then he's saying, therefore, right? Now that you know, now that we have that framework, he says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love. Isn't that, man, that's awesome. That's an awesome introduction. And I long for you. You're my crown and my joy and my crown. Stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. And then he goes on to do something that I think is really interesting. He calls out two women in the church. Now, what do you think is happening with the two women in the church? I'm going to tell you guys, right? It even says, he says, listen, I'm pleading with Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Why is that important? Well, let's stop that. Let's stop there. Because the first point for today's message is number one, as believers, we need to strive for unity and peace by being of the same mind in Jesus Christ. As believers, we need to strive for unity and peace by being of the same mind in Jesus Christ. Now, why do you think that matters? Why is it important? Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. The church is a persecuted church. I don't know if you guys know that. There is clearly a conflict between these two ladies happening. Does that make sense? And he's saying, he's like, hey, he's not actually saying, he's not criticizing the two of them, because he goes on to say, he says, I ask you, my true companion, help these women so they have contended at my side for the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of the co-workers, whose names are also written in the book of life. So he's not picking a fight with them like he has in other areas, right? And previously he was having a conflict with the way that some of the people were trying to bring in the religious activities. Remember, this was in week two, we said Jesus and the law. And Paul was saying, it's not of that, it's all about Jesus. Jesus came to fulfill the law. You guys remember that? What he's saying here is that he's recognizing and he's heard, right, that there's a conflict in the church between two of the leaders in the church. Now, oftentimes, I don't know if you guys know this, conflict can happen within the church, right? Conflict can happen within your family. Conflict can happen within your marriage. Conflict can happen with you and your kids. Conflict can happen with what? Your neighbor. Anywhere, right? I always like that verse where it says, if two or three are gathered, Jesus is there. But guess what? The opportunity for conflict is also there. And what Paul is giving us a reminder to say, listen, now he's not talking to unbelievers there. He's talking to the church leaders. And he's talking to the members of the church. And he's saying, listen, you're going to have differences of opinions, different personality styles, different things are going to go, because we're all different. We have a propensity, right? We have a shirt. We're gonna make those shirts one day, brother. What does it say? I love me some me, and I'm always on my mind, right? And that means that you like certain things your way. And if it's not done your way, you're like, it was okay, but it wasn't like my favorite. It would have been better if... That sound familiar? You know, it's fine. I have a little bug in your car, and I hear all your conversations after. That would have been good, but Pastor kept messing up the worship song, so... I mean, it was all right. It was a little loud. It would have been good, but the pastor was praying when the verse started, so we cut him off. I don't know what it was. Believe me, it's okay, right? Yeah. I'm just messing around. We haven't bugged your cars. We wouldn't do that. All I'm here to say is that, listen, to live is to have conflict, even in the church, even in marriages, even in families, there's conflict, right? But Paul is giving us a very clear instruction. He's saying, listen, strive for peace and unity. He doesn't say, it's funny, he gives us the answer. He says, how do we do that? Do we do it by 5 steps of having a healthy relationship? 10 steps to being a better listener. He doesn't say all that. He says one thing. What does he say? Have this, be like-minded, have the same mind of Christ. Does that make sense? He's saying, listen, there's going to be conflict already in the world, but within the body of believers, right? Let's not disagree about Jesus Christ. Let's not disagree about what he came to do. Let's not disagree about his goodness, his kindness, his gentleness. Can we model ourselves and have the mind of Christ? Because when you have the mind of Christ, doesn't it make all the difference in the world? You try to do relationships without Jesus Christ at the center of it, and you tell me how that works out. And I always say my testimony is my testimony, right? My wife and I, we love each other deeply, deeply, deeply. I love her more today than on the day I married her. But it's only because of Jesus Christ. It's only because, and I share my testimony willingly, not because you guys look at our marriage and say, wow, they got it all together. No, it's only because of Jesus Christ. The fact that we're still married is only because of Jesus Christ. That's the honest truth. And we're here to glorify Him, not ourselves. So if you see us and you see things, and like our family, yeah, we have peace, we have harmony, because Jesus Christ is at the center of it. And so we're here to glorify Him. We've tried it our way, haven't we? And how did that turn out? It doesn't always turn out the way we want. So Jesus has reminded us to say, strive for peace and unity in the same mind of Jesus Christ. That comes by knowing Him, making Him Lord, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Then we have peace. Because guess what? In the world, we're going to have conflict. What causes conflict? Differences. Differences of skin color. Differences of race. Differences of ethnicity. Differences of social economic statuses. Difference of beliefs. Difference of how I view certain things. And yes, those are, and we're not saying that those things are not important. They are important. We're called to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. Right? But He's also saying, listen, you're going to have a lot of things that divide you already. How do you bring that, right? How do you have unity within the church? By being in the same mind of Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, true story. I once, in my old church that I served at, I'm not going to say that person's name, and I think I've shared this testimony with you guys. There's a brother who didn't speak to me for almost like 8 months had gone by. I thought it was really strange. And then he came to talk to me. And he says, you know, I got to talk to you. I said, what's going on, brother? He says, have you noticed that I haven't really talked to you? I've been kind of cold with you. I said, a little bit, but I just wasn't sure if you're going through a funk. Or he says, well, the truth is, one morning I walked up to you. I put my hand out and you saw me and you turned your back on me. And you didn't shake my hand. I said, brother, you didn't talk to me for 8 months because of that? He said, yeah. I said, honest truth. I don't remember. I didn't see you. I'm so sorry that you felt that way. I'm so sorry that I missed it. That was never my intention. He's all, you did it? I thought, all this time, I thought you were mad at me. I said, I don't, you know. Isn't it interesting how something will happen, a little division could happen, but if we're not of the same mind of Christ, how would we say, listen, why did it matter? Because when there's conflict, the other person is usually waiting for what? The other person. Now, if we're the same mind of Christ and the Holy Spirit, right, we're what? Humble in our approach. To, hey, brother, something's going on? Like, I've noticed. Now, honestly, I could take ownership of that too. But I don't know if you guys remember, I'm always busy sitting up and tearing down, doing like 10,000 things before and after church. God has called me to work, and when I work, I feel His pleasure. All right? So it's never my intention. And I'll say that now. If it happens today, I'm sorry in advance. You need to know my heart. That's not my heart, right? Stop me. If you need prayer, if you need something, come and see me. Text me, call me, whatever it is. We're here to serve you. You need to know my heart. So that was an instance where what? We needed a simple conversation. In humility, we'd say, hey, what's going on? I've noticed this relationship is... And then we apologize and it was all fine afterwards, right? The same mind of Christ and humility and how we approach our conflicts. The second thing we're going to learn, right, and let me just be really honest about this one, and actually this is out of John chapter 17, because it ties into this, and so yes, the main scripture is out of Philippians chapter 4, but this is one of my favorite verses for the church. It comes out of John 17, verses 20 to 21, and this is Jesus in His final prayer before He's arrested. Jesus says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. You know what Jesus is saying? And I've preached on this one before, but He's saying, listen, how are people going to believe that the Father sent the Son? Is it because you have an awesome pastor who's funny and he plays Houdini before? He doesn't say that. He does. Is it because, see that? The speaker's talking to us. Is it because you have the most amazing worship team? Is it because you're in the most beautiful, beautiful building that is how they're going to know that the Father sent the Son? He didn't say that. You know what he did say? He says, they will believe, right? That the Father has sent the Son, that all of them may be one. It says that those will believe through their message, all of them may be one, just as you are in me and I am in you, that they also will be in us, so the world will believe that you have sent me. That's a crazy. I don't know if you guys wrap your brains around that. There's conflict in the whole world. Everywhere you go, there's conflict. Everywhere you go. Turn on your social media, turn on TV. Everywhere is conflict, yes? You know what's supernatural and different? Unity, peace, love, gentleness, kindness within a body of believers, right? When people show up to our services and events, if people show up to our studies, they should know it's like there's something different going on there. Why? Because they genuinely love each other. Because they genuinely care. Because they're genuinely what? Glad that you're there. And that's different. Jesus is saying that's how they'll know that the Father sent the Son. And then they'll believe. But the point number two that we're moving on, because I know I've already taken us a long time here, and this one's going to go fast because it's a repeat of last week. Paul, right, in the next little scripture tells us, and we're going to pick up in verse 4. If you go back to the Bible and go back to the screen, he continues and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now that probably is a very familiar piece of scripture for you. You may get it on your Instagram feeds or different things. That's a very popular one. But to recap from last week, what is Paul saying? Right? The context is that the church is being persecuted. That there is some divisions in the church. He's reminding us, let's have the same mind of Christ. But above all, let me just remind you, in case you forgot, rejoice in who God is first. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. He says it twice here. He also said it twice in chapter 3. You guys remember that? Because he knows that conflict is going to happen. Hardship is going to come. The bad news, right? I say the diagnosis is coming in. The unexpected things that happen. The unexpected trauma that happens. The pain that we're going to suffer in this life. It's going to come. But Paul is saying, listen, above all else, it says, rejoice in God. Rejoice in knowing that your name is written in the book of life. Rejoice in your relationship with Jesus Christ first. Because with Him, we can do all things. And we're going to get to that scripture right now. But don't forget to rejoice. Now, it's funny. There's a song that captures this very passage to the T. It's a song by Hillsong United. And it's a song called Christ is Enough. I'm going to read it to you. It says, Christ is my reward and all of my devotion, and there's nothing in this world that could ever satisfy. Through every trial, my soul will sing. No turning back, I've been set free. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything that I need. Christ is my all in all, the joy of my salvation. And this hope will never fail, because heaven is our home. Through every storm, my soul will sing, because Jesus is here, and to God be the glory. And it goes on to say, I've decided to follow Jesus. I decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. There's no turning back. The cross before me and the world behind me, right? No turning back. No turning back. That's what Paul is reminding the church at Philippi, and it's a reminder for us. You need to know, right, that in this life you're going to have storms, conflict, trials, but we are what? The world behind us, the cross before us. Amen? That's how we get through in our times of trouble. We rejoice in the Lord, but it means that we have to know who He is first. Now in verses 6 and 7, Paul gives us, and this is where I was saying, this is a very familiar passage and a very familiar section of Scripture, because he says, don't be anxious about anything, but pray in every what? Situation, right? And he says, by prayer and petition, with what? Thanksgiving, present your request to God, right? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Man, shouldn't that be the prayer of all? Every single day we should be praying, right? For the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I just said it. Who needs an extra dose of, who could use some more peace in our life right now? Right? Everybody. I just said, turn on the TV. There's so much division, so much conflict, so much fear, so much anxiety, so much depression, so much addiction, so much heartbreak. We all need an extra dose of Jesus. We all need the peace that surpasses understanding. Amen? Because have you ever noticed how anxiety can take a hold of entire community? Have you ever noticed that? Quick reminder, how many of you guys are old enough to remember that whole Y2K thing? You guys remember that? And you guys remember how crazy it was? Like everybody was worried, like all the energy power plants are going to shut down and nuclear missiles are going to fire off, because in the coding for computers, they didn't know. There was a little glitch from the year 1999 to the year 2000 if that was going to just cause everything to be a catastrophic failure, right? So some young people are like in the back of the room like, what? That's crazy. Like, what are you talking about? That was Y2K. And you guys remember buying like 35 gallons of the trash cans and over there with your water hose? Psh, I was like, I got to have water in case I need a shower. I need a toilet. I can't. You guys remember that? How many of you guys did that? The trash cans? We did that. My mom. We got to have water. Food, remember stockpiling all kinds of food? That was in the year 1999. And then it happened, and it's like, what happened? Nothing happened. Like it was a big old, like, it was all, and then nothing happened. It was like, the world didn't catch on fire, right? More recently, in year 2020, we went through the pandemic. You guys remember that? And you guys remember how people responded to that? When there was fear, and you turn on the TV. And I'm not here to dismiss that. I work in healthcare. I lost people to COVID. That was a real virus. My CMO, one of my friends at work, one of my best friends, his office next to me passed away from that. I'm not here to diminish that. That was a real thing. I know sometimes you turn on the TV, it's like, oh, it's fake. It's like, oh, it's... We have loved ones that passed away from it, okay? So I'm not going to hear... I'm here to debate that. But how do people respond to the fear and the anxiety? Stockpiling all kinds of different things. You guys remember? Toilet paper, water, flour. You couldn't buy flour. Like, baking was a big old thing, I guess. Everybody was on lockdown. You guys remember that? So fear can creep into a community. But the response that we're hearing from Paul is to say, listen, how do you respond to fear in a community, right? He says, don't be anxious about anything, but instead, right, through prayer and thanksgiving and supplication, make all your petitions known to God. And then he says what? And the peace surpasses all understanding, right? Through Christ Jesus will guard us, will fill our hearts. I don't know about you guys. When you're walking with Jesus Christ, you're going to encounter situations where you're going to have a supernatural moment where the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you a sense of peace in the middle of trauma and trial. And you'll look back on it and say, that was only because the Holy Spirit was working in me. I've had that happen in my life, right? Where you're like, I don't know. Before, the old me would have lost my mind, but a peace came upon me that allowed me to speak life. You started quoting scriptures you didn't even know you knew. You didn't know them. The Holy Spirit knew them, right? And so all we're saying is that, like, God is who He says He is. His word is real. And we have to come to Him. So the peace of God is available in the Christian community. I don't know if you guys, if you can put that, the third fill in the blank for today, is the peace of God is available in the Christian community. Because guess what? We need each other. I don't know if you know that. But when you're under attack and you're in the middle of a storm and there's a conflict going on and heartbreak, you need the Christian community to come alongside, to pray with you, to love you, to encourage you. You're not meant to do this journey alone. In fact, if you count the number of times that you will read all the one another's, there's over 50 of them in the New Testament. And a lot of people will tell you, have you heard this before? Oh, I believe in God. I just don't need to go to church. I pray, Pastor. You don't know. I pray in the car. I pray at home. I pray at work. I said, hey, good. You should be praying. But what about all the other 52 others, the one another commandments that you have to keep? How are you doing those? Right? We need each other. We need each other. The peace of God is available within the Christian community. And this is something, right? This is interesting. The peace of God comes, again, everything is in the context of it. The context of that passage is that you're already doing what Paul said in chapter 3. And he's saying, listen, it's not about the flesh. It's not about religion. It is all about Jesus first. The peace comes when you're serving and doing what God has called you to do. So listen, if you're doing something because God had called you to something and you're being disobedient, you're not going to feel peace. Peace comes when comes with obedience to God. I don't know if you know that. You could even be doing a good thing, but if you're not fully obedient to what God is calling you to do, you're not going to have that peace. That's my testimony. I've shared it with you guys, right? Stephanie and I served at our old church for 13 years. We loved that church. We loved the people. But God had called us to plant a church. You know when God had called me to plant a church? In March of 2010. You know when I got saved? In February of 2010. Now, God is a God of order. And so I'll tell you, in all honesty, was I ready to plant a church in 2010? Heck no. I barely could open the Bible. I was like, where is that? I was the guy that was embarrassed when people say, turn, all the professional Christians around me, they're like, turn to Romans. And they're like, ready. Amen. I'm like, embarrassed. Where's Romans at? Right? That was me. And all I'm saying is this. You could be serving God, but not have a true sense of peace until you're walking in the fullness of what He's called you to do. Does that make sense? That's one little example. And Paul is saying, listen, you want the peace that surpasses all understanding? Get busy not being about religion. Get busy being about Jesus. And then he says, get busy serving. Get busy serving. I know I joked earlier about the Filipino food. And look at this. I'm going to give you guys a side profile. I got some work to do. Right? I got to work it out. Our Christian faith is the same sometimes. Listen, we do a lot of posting. I mean, some of us are great, like social media evangelists. Like we're evangelizing on social media like it's nobody's business. We're passing encouragement and text message, and that's good. But what we're going to learn is what Paul's saying is you need to get busy serving somebody. You need to be get busy doing your part to build up a kingdom, right? And then when you pray and you're in earnest and you're doing life together, right, there's a peace that surpasses all understanding. That's awesome. I don't know if you guys know. All right, I have 10 more points to go, and I'm already running out of time. The good news is that there's donuts in the back. I'm kidding. I'm going to go quickly. And this one is, we're going to spend a lot of time on this one. We're going to keep reading. Let's read now, right? Philippians 4, verse 8. Chapter 4, verse 8 through, let me just finish it, and then I'll just break it down. Let's do that. It says, Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or have heard from me, seen in me, put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. What I just finished saying. He's saying, listen, put it, he says, go and listen, and he just put it away. No, he says, put it into practice, right? He continues, it says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. There's another whatever, right? I know what it is to be in need. Who knows? Who in here knows what it is to need? Yeah, right? And then he says, and I also know what it is to have plenty. And some of us in here, I'll say, yeah, I've had plenty as well. And I've learned the secret. Now, this is an awesome verse. He says, I've learned the secret of being content in any, every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him, that's Christ Jesus, who gives me strength. Amen? Amen. So number four, what we're learning from this passage is that we have to reframe the whatevers of life. Reframe the whatevers of life. Now, you guys know this. You've gotten into a little bit of a tiff with somebody. You tell them and you're like, hey, you're not supposed to do it this way, or hey, that maybe you shouldn't have, and they'll tell you, they'll hit you with the whatever. You go, hey, that's not, how does that make you feel? I'll show you whatever. I got whatever for you. No. Does this make you angry? Don't hit me with the whatever. The flesh comes out right away, right? Whatever. That's a way to shut down, to dismiss, to kind of like just say, yeah, cállate. Like, I don't even care. Whatever. That's the world's whatever. Paul is giving us a different kind of whatever, right? So listen, when you're in an argument or a conflict and you hit somebody here with the whatevers, you have permission now from Paul and from me to say, not whatever. Because if we're here together in the church body of one unity, of one mind, we're practicing what God wants us to do, there's no room for that type of whatever. That makes sense? No, because Paul is saying really clearly, he's saying what? He's saying, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, right? Those are the things that we need to focus in on. He's saying, whatever is praiseworthy or excellent, think about those things, right? So listen, we don't have the permission to just be like, yeah, whatever. We're called, we have a mandate to say, no, you think about the things that are good. You think about things that are right, things that are lovely, things that are true. That's what defines our friendship, our relationships in the body of Christ needs to be those things. But oftentimes we spend a lot of time thinking about what the other person doesn't do, or what they do wrong, or the defects, all this stuff. And listen, if you are looking for problems and imperfections, you're going to find them. And I'll say this. What if God looked at you the same way? What if God was looking for you and he says, oh, all your imperfections, all the things, you're not good enough. That's not going to be whatever. Man, I'm just saying that if we're going to be of one mind with Jesus Christ, that we need to have the same concept to say, listen, it's not all the negative things, not the whatever, you didn't do it right, I don't like that person, their personality. Enough of that. One mind with Christ. Think about the things that are right. Think about things that are true, that are good, right? That's what Paul is exhorting. He's telling the Philippians, and he's telling us, by the way. To live is to have conflict. So we have to reframe the whatevers of life. And so if somebody hits you with the whatever in this room, no, whatever. Whatever is true, whatever is just, but not to dismiss us, right? Because we're called to have the same mind of Jesus Christ. And we're called to speak life into our relationships and to speak life into our kids. Oftentimes, the whatever is a cop-out. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to put in the work. I know that I'm the person that's, I'm just going to dismiss. I'm going to put it off because I'm the one that's, I don't want to take ownership of my actions. God is not calling us into that type of, I'm just going to be honest with you, that level of maturity. He wants us to rise up, to own those things. Does that make sense? So we have to reframe the way we think about all the whatevers, right? And lastly, and I'm just going to give you guys these points because I know we ran out of time already. When Paul goes on, he gives them thanks for their gifts. He talks about them. He gives thanks for who, and I ran out of time already. But your homework is to read, right? Keep reading. 14 through 20. Actually, just read the rest of it, 23. He's saying, listen, in the church body, you have to show concern for each other. You have to show up. You have to show up. It's important that you pray, but it's more important sometimes that you just show up. Does that make sense? And I'll go back and I just want to recap, right? What Paul says, because oftentimes this particular passage of, or this scripture is used out of context. It's Philippians 4:13. Knows it. My wife knows it. It's her life verse. What's the context? What's the passage? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Strengthens us. What's the context of that passage, though? He's saying, listen, that I have contentment, whether I have a lot or I have a little bit, whether I'm in want or in excess, then I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Does that make sense? It says, like, listen, it's not about whatever you can acclaim, whatever you're going to achieve in this life, your degrees, your jobs, your house, your car, all that stuff. Guess what? Heartbreak is still coming. I'm telling you, the storm is still coming. Despair is still coming. Depression is still coming. I'm being honest with you. Anxiety is still coming. But he's saying, listen, find your contentment in Jesus Christ. He's enough. Then we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's the secret of Christian living and living the generous life. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus, Lord God. Thank you for your letter, Lord God, inspired by the Holy Spirit from Paul to the Philippians. Thank you for what it's meant to us for the last 4 weeks, Lord God, that you are speaking truth to us, Lord God. That this letter was a letter of encouragement to a church that was being heavily persecuted at the time. But as we learned, we don't find our joy and our strength and all of our, in anything of this world. We find it only in you, Lord Jesus. We find it only in you. As the Holy Spirit, I just pray that you continue to move, Lord God. Move in our hearts, our minds, Lord God, to have the one likeness, Lord God, that you called us to have, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Father God, you are an awesome God. Lord God, we want to surrender, Lord God, anything that is inhibiting, Lord God, because if we want to have that peace that surpasses all understanding, if we want to have the strength to endure all these things, Lord God, it only comes by knowing Jesus Christ. It only comes by knowing Jesus Christ. And so if this morning, if you've been asking or you feel the Holy Spirit knocking on your heart and you're not quite sure where you are, or you want to know more about this Jesus, it's very simple. You invite him into your heart. You ask him with a simple prayer, and it goes like this, is, Lord Jesus, I believe you are who you say that you are. I want to know more about you. Keep hearing that you're the Son of God, but I've never experienced your goodness. I keep hearing about the Holy Spirit, but I've never known what it's like to be inhabited by the Holy Spirit. I keep hearing about this relationship with the Heavenly Father, but never have really experienced that. And if that's you this morning, you just ask him and surrender your life. You say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are who you say that you are. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you came. that you died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. I want to live my life for you from this day forward. Help me to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Will you help the words come to life? Will you allow me to come into the fold of the body of believers, Lord, to experience that peace and that joy that we're learning about today? And if that's you this morning, if you prayed that prayer in earnest, I want you to come see me after church. I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you. You're not meant to do this journey alone. And also, if you're going through something as a believer and you maybe have wandered from the faith a little bit, you want to be encouraged, come see me afterwards as well. We're here to serve. We're here to do life together. It only comes by being, by coming forward in humility. Number one, to recognize that we need God, that we need a Savior. And number two, that we need each other. Father God, forgive us, Lord God. Forgive us for our sins, Lord. Forgive us, Lord God, if we have any kind of discord, Lord God, if we have any division, Lord God. We need a touch from you in our relationships. We need you to be at the center of our families, at the center of our homes, at the center of our church relationships, Lord God. We need you to be the center of our communities, Lord God. We need you to be at the center of our country, Lord God. Will you come in and you bring the healing? That only comes by making you Lord in all things, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for your kindness and your goodness and your mercy. My prayer today, Lord, is that we continue to seek you out and find our true contentment in just knowing who you are and digging deeper into that relationship and showing up. Showing up to the Bible studies and showing up to the hangouts and the barbecues and showing up to the group and showing up to church on service and reaching now. And that we can be your hands and your feet to a community that desperately needs to know the goodness of who you are, Lord Jesus. Continue to use us, Lord God. Minister to our hearts and allow us to be your hands and your feet, Lord God, to share the good news of who you are to a world that desperately needs to know you, Lord. Love you. We praise you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.